Sisters and brothers, I want to begin by reflecting on Peter Kropotkin's point that individual initiative and growth depends on having mutual confidence in each other. He wrote that, quote, mutual aid leads to confidence, which is the first condition for courage, and it leads to individual initiative, which is the first condition for intellectual progress, unquote. That's from page 15 of Mutual Aid. And I believe that the lack of confidence in each other is part and parcel of our lack of confidence in the state as we manifest and represent for the state, which Bentham instructed power to ensure, by which he meant that we are made to support the terms by which power is aggregated in the state. The primary term being that we renounce possession of our own power and vest it in the state. So aggregated power, the state, and its lack of authenticity, as it must conceal its true purpose, and its fundamental dishonesty is disseminated out and filtered down through us. And we need big conversations about that. So aggregated power is a collective body which in its ideology or in the ideology it tells us or conditions us to believe. And it doesn't matter whether you call that democracy or communism or socialism or social democracy or participatory democracy, if participatory democracy has not ended the aggregation of power. So in the propaganda, this aggregated power is supposed to serve us, is supposed to protect and advocate for us in the global arena, in this global contest for supremacy. And we're going to talk more about how you can see this, because this is a pattern that is intrinsic to class. It's a pattern that will run through society everywhere. So you can see the pattern everywhere. This is again Bentham's point. It must be reproduced everywhere in order for it to become a totalitarian reality. And of course, in reality, the state never does reflect our interests. And if you get a chance to read, I'm sharing with the world a memo I circulated to the Berkeley Liberation Radio Collective, because as I was writing it, it served me as illustration, so I thought maybe it would for others as well. And it basically makes the point that democracy cannot work in circumstances of scarcity, scarce resources, manufactured scarce resources, because it forces most of us in survival mode, which means we have to cede our power to the few who are not in survival mode when it comes to the objectives of the state or the collective as manifestation of it, whatever, because we all manifest it. And again, why is that? We're going to hopefully shed a little bit of light on that. And so what I'm suggesting in this letter that I circulated is that meetings cannot serve structurally under conditions of manufactured scarcity, that meetings, even in a volunteer organization like this, a collective like this, cannot serve to, and we'll have to have maybe develop a whole show just on this issue of decision making. But under conditions of scarce resources, which is true for our collective, the few who can come for a variety of reasons try to govern for the whole. And that can mean three or four people at a meeting when we have 40 DJs. And that is not going to result in decisions that reflect the interests of the entire collective. So I wrote that the more people who come to a meeting, the less can, quote unquote, get done, the less decision-making can happen, regardless of facilitation, the harder it is on people's health sitting through all this contested ground. And the fewer who come, the more decision-making becomes oligarchic. A small group of people govern, quote unquote, the organization. And the few cannot make good decisions for the many. And in the absence of scarcity, if scarcity were truly not the defining characteristic of our lives under class, what would there be to vote on? And this is de Grazia's point in Of Time, Work, and Leisure, Sebastian de Grazia. And it's also a point made by Melville in Taipei. And I have a long quote from him to that effect in Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work, that there was nothing to argue about under conditions of abundance. I mean, we need to start thinking about that when folks have a failure of heart or confidence or start to despair, to really think through what that means. What would it mean for there to be a world premised on abundance? What is there to fight over? Truly. And until we have that world, we will never be able to contribute. We will never be able to develop our full human gifts fully, and we will not be able to share them. And when we do share them, it but creates more abundance. Just as the system we're stuck in, class, is ever descending cycle into horror after horror after horror, a global world premised on abundance is an ever ascending cycle of beauty upon beauty upon beauty and abundance upon they both are self-reinforcing. So we have to start believing this, talking about it, and getting ourselves working, coordinating together to build toward that reality. Because the more we see it, the more we believe it. What do we covet? We've been asking in recent shows. What we see. So we have to begin modeling abundance, developing abundance, and we're going to be talking about today, that means developing our authentic voices, because as long as we keep listening to the master's voice, it's going to reinforce our despair, our fear, our lack of confidence in each other. Confidence, which is the first condition for courage.